So let's review. In the first daf of the Masechta, we learned the Machlokes HaMaruam, whether the word Or in the Mishnah means day or night. The Gemara brought 11 proofs, two of which conclusively proved that it means night, and the other 9 did not prove either way. Our daf began with additional 4 proofs, all of which conclusively proved that Or means night. First, the Mishnah records a Machlokes B'Shamay and B'Sil about the tumah status of a woman who suffers a miscarriage, Or L'Shmeinim Ve'Echad. The night which is after her 80 days of Yemei Tahara, but before she brings a carbon on the 81st day. Each opinion contrasts Or with Yom, clearly proving that Or means night. Second, the Braisa explains how we know that a carbon shlamim may only be eaten for 2 days, and the one night in between those 2 days, but may not be eaten Or L'Shlishi, the night preceding the 3rd day after it was brought, even though it is not burned as nicer until the next morning. The term Or L'Shlishi clearly refers to night. Third, the Braisa says, Or shel Yom HaKippur mispal shevu misvada, Tfilas Arvis of Yom Kippur, as well as the other Tfilas of Yom Kippur, consist of 7 brachas. Clearly, Or means night. Finally, the Braisa explicitly says, Leile Arba Asr Beit Kenes HaChametz L'Haner. We do Bedikas Chametz on the eve of the 14th day, clearly proving that when our Mishnah says to do Bedika at Or, it means at night. Ela Bein Rav Huna Ubein Rav Yehuda, the Kuli Alma Or Urtuhu. The Gemara concludes that all Amirah must agree that Or means night. Rav Huna said it means Nigi, because in his town, they referred to night as Nigi. V'tane didam my time l'gitoni leili. Why didn't our Mishnah simply say night, which would have been a much clearer expression than Or? Lishna ma'al Yehuda nakat. The Mishnah prefers to speak in a more dignified way. As Rav Shuban Levi and other Amiram taught, la'olam al yoytzi ad davar meguna mipiv. One should never speak in an unrefined manner, which we learn from the fact that the Torah wrote an extra 8, 9, 10, or even 16 oisius letters in order to avoid using a less refined expression such as tamei. Let's cite the first and most well-known example. When describing the animals entering Noach's Teva, the Torah writes, min ha-behema ha-tahira, or min ha-behema asher inena tahira. Instead of the shorter, min ha-behema ha-tahira, or min ha-behema ha-temeya, asher inena tahira is 13 oisius. Hatmeya is 5 oisius, a difference of 8 oisius. Tanya de Beirishmal, La'olam yisapar adam alashon nekiya. We derive from 3 separate pesukim that not only does the Torah use a refined manner of speech, but the Rabbanan do the same, and even in general conversation, we should do the same. Even though we always try to use the most dignified expression, there is a competing principle of La'olam yishan adam l'tamida derech kitzara. One should always teach his students in the most brief and concise terms. Therefore, when the length of the expression would be the same, we choose the more dignified expression. But when the more dignified expression is longer, we may choose the less dignified but shorter expression. Rashi explains, however, that the Torah did, in certain places, use the longer expression to teach the point of speaking in a refined manner. The Gemara relates several incidents that demonstrate how the way a person speaks can reveal a lot about him. First, Hanutrei Talmidi. There were 2 students of Rav, one of whom described his studies tiring him as a tired pig, and the other who described it as a tired goat. Although the first one used the euphemism, davar acher, another thing for the pig, Rav would not talk to that student because he used such an example. Second, as a young man, either Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai asked Hill or Rabbi Yochanan asked Rebbe, memnei ma'boitzin b'tahara ve'ein moiskin b'tahara. Why are we careful to harvest grapes with kalim that are tahar, and we are not similarly careful to harvest olives b'tahara? Another student asked, why are we careful to harvest grapes b'tahara, but we don't mind to harvest olives b'tumah? Based on his refined speech, his Rebbe predicted, I am certain that he will become one who will issue rulings from the Jewish people. Indeed, it didn't take long for this student to become a significant Pesach. Third, there were 3 kahanim describing the small portion of the lechem upon them they received. One described it as, Higyani kipul, I received a piece the size of a bean. The other one said, Higyani kizayis, the size of an olive. While the third one said, Higyani kizan of halta, the size of a lizard's tail. They investigated him and found either a psul in his lineage or that he had serious character flaws which disqualified him from serving as a kain. Parenthetically, the Gemara tells the story of Ahu Arma, a guy who used to brag that he was able to fool the Chacham in Yerushalayim into giving him a portion of a carbon Pesach. When Yehuda ben Maaseh heard about this, he encouraged the guy to ask for the fatty tail, which halachically must be burned on the Mizbeach. When the man made this strange request, and when asked, he said that it was upon the suggestion of Yehuda ben Maaseh, Nachum realized something was amiss. After investigating his lineage, they discovered the truth and killed him. They sent the following complimentary message to Rabbi Yehuda ben Maseira. Ahat ben Netzivin umetzidascha prusa b'Yerushalayim. You are indeed a Netzivin, but your net extends all the way to Yerushalayim. Fourth, when Rabbi Yeshua Bered Rav Idi was sent to check on Rav Kahana, he discovered Rav Kahana had passed away. When reporting back, he hid the kriya, the tear in his garment, and did not respond directly with the bad news, quoting a pasuk in Mishlei. Umoitzi di behu ksil, one who utters a bad report is a fool. Finally, Yochanan Chakukah went to check on the crops, and when asked about the performance of each crop which had grown poorly, he did not respond directly. Instead, he reported about other crops.